Isn't being in God's presence wonderful, eh? You don't want to leave there, you just want to stay there. It's so beautiful. Now I'd like to introduce you to Jenny. Of course, all of you know her. Now I'll just give you a little bit that she told me within 2 seconds. She met Joel in Israel. They got married and they've got 2 kids. That's as far as I know. They've been missionaries as well. I better put that in. And now she's here and she's going to speak for us. Okay, can we welcome Jenny? There's one thing about me, it's what you see is what you get.
I like that.
Okay, Jenny, thank you. Oops. I'll give you a free ear.
I like that what you see is what you get, Isabella, because it makes me feel very relaxed. It's good to be here. I actually feel, I have to say, very humbled to be speaking to you all, because the ladies that I do know here, I know are amazing women of God. And so I just thank you for the invitation to come and share my heart with you as well. And it's just great to be here. And let's stay in the Lord's presence. We're not leaving. We're going to stay in it. I want to share some things that from my heart that the Lord started speaking to me a few weeks ago when I started thinking of today. And I just feel really blessed, because yesterday a friend of mine phoned at late in the afternoon. She lives in Sydney. She didn't know I was going to be doing this today. And she said, 3 nights ago the Lord woke me with a prophetic word for you, but he told me I wasn't to give it to you until yesterday. And it was a long word, but so much of it was about this morning. And you know, God's just so kind. He sees our hearts and he just wants to encourage us like a father would. And so I was so blessed by that. And I just wanted to share that with you, because you know, he was mindful of today and just wanted to bless me too. I wanted to share with you a little bit to begin with about revival. I feel like we were all born for revival. It's our destiny, and it's what God has planned for all of us. It's our inheritance. I am fascinated with revival. I read a lot about the history of it. I have books that I've read multiple times, and I love reading the amazing events of people's lives when God moved in radical ways. And I love, you know, when I read about the revivals of, you know, Azusa 100 years ago, I like to picture myself in that place and think, what would I have done, Lord, if I was seeing all those things happening? Because sometimes the moves of God are wild. They're not neatly packaged. Now, I once heard a man say, if we could organize how a baby's born, we'd have it born in a little clean plastic packet. But that's not how God designed it. He designed it to be quite different, quite dramatic, and maybe not neat and tidy. But that's the way the Spirit is. He just wants to stretch us and blow our minds and do things that we hadn't realized he could do. But I love reading what they went through, and they had the book of Acts, they had the word of God to go back on, but they were pretty much stepping out, you know, and their history carries us, doesn't it? It's so great. Some of the accounts I've read of Azusa Street, and you know, if you don't know about that revival, it happened started in 1915 in California, and the people that have written accounts are older now, but were children, and they said that the glory cloud in their church every week would be so thick they would play hide and seek during the meeting. They would find it. Can you imagine that? And they said sometimes we'd run to the front and we'd see each other, and then we'd notice that the adults were praying for people to be healed, and so we'd jump in and put our hands in, and the kids were just so involved in it all. And one man was telling how he was playing Tiggy or whatever, and jumped in to pray for someone, and it was a man who was missing an arm, and he said a new limb came shooting out of this man's body. You know, just the most amazing accounts. And God wants to repeat all that. We're living in amazing days where we're going to start to see these kind of things happen again. My own family have a history of being involved in revival. My grandparents were privileged in 1927 to be involved in the move of God that came under Smith Wigglesworth. My grandfather was a young man in the Baptist church, and Wigglesworth was invited out to Australia to tour and do meetings, and they had their first meeting in Sydney, and my grandfather was at that meeting. And if you know a little bit about Smith Wigglesworth, he was an amazing man of God, amazing man of the presence, but he was quite unorthodox. And so he ministered that night and many people got healed. There's clippings in newspapers, in Sydney Morning Herald, you can read. And apparently there were some people, crippled people in wheelchairs, who he yanked out of wheelchairs and they were instantly healed. But it was all a little too much for the organisation that had brought him out, and so they cancelled the tour. At the end of that evening, they cancelled the rest of the ministry. So, but my grandfather had been in that meeting and his heart was burning. He thought, this is what I've been looking for all my life. And so he went to Wigglesworth and said, if I can get venues, will you keep ministering? And that led to him being privileged to travel for months and be mentored under Smith Wigglesworth, and he was in business at that time, but he was ordained into the ministry under Smith Wigglesworth. And shortly after that, a handful of people, including my grandparents, were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they were amongst the first to receive the gift of tongues in Australia and plant a church, the first Pentecostal church in Sydney. So we grew up hearing, my mum grew up hearing the stories of that great move of God and the amazing things in the years to come after that that happened. And I used to love it as a child when conversation as a family, when we'd be together, would come around and my papa and grandma would start talking about those times and how so many people got saved and just the incredible miracles they saw and just the presence of God that they were in. And I can remember, oh thank you, I can remember one day asking my grandmother when I was just a child, so why is that stopped? Why don't we see that now in our churches? And she thought for a moment and she said, well, people stopped coming to the meetings where we would tarry in his presence. And the fire died down. It was still there, but it wasn't roaring like it was in those early days. And I've seen some moves of God in my childhood. My parents were pastoring in Brisbane in the valley. And that was in the 70s when a lot of drug addicts and prostitutes and people from the street started to come in. It was the Jesus movement, really, that started again in California, but it came to Australia too. And in those days, Teen Challenge was birthed because there was such a need for all these people that were getting saved. And I'm so glad. My parents never worried about having us in bed. We were at church on Sunday nights. And I have memories of looking from under the pews, lying on the ground, and seeing people go down under the power of God. And I'm just so glad that I grew up in that atmosphere. And later in the... I think I'm a kid, so the time's a bit muddled up. My mother's here this morning too. But we also saw, you know, the charismatic renewal, where again we got taken to meetings at night and saw these Catholic priests and nuns and Anglican priests all filled with the Spirit, dancing around, full of joy, amazing meetings. And I so remember the intensity in the air at those meetings, wonderful times. But we're living in amazing days now, and we're destined to see God move in a greater way than we've ever seen before. In preparing, I was rereading some more, and you know, there's the famous prophecy of Wigglesworth where he said in 100 years Australia's going to see an amazing move of God. But I didn't realize that Azusa Street had a similar prophecy: 100 years time, the world's going to see a move of God. And so did Maria Woodsworth Edda. She was another amazing revivalist of those days, and she too prophesied in 100 years, this is the former rain, they're going to see the latter rain, they're going to see the harvest of the kingdom. That's three, there's probably many more, but just to think that they had the vision in them to think of 100 years to come and not feel like they were in the moment, you know, are just amazing. So that's where we are. In the last 2 years, I like to read a lot of prophetic words from around the world, and there seems to be an increase of words about Ezekiel 37. In the last 2 years, you hear about the army, God breathing on the dry bones, and flesh coming, and to those bones. That's the army that God's raising up. That's us. Our young people often sing out on Sunday nights when we're worshipping, they'll sing out prophetic songs, and so often it's about Ezekiel 37. I just think that's amazing, that's such a part of burning in their spirits that comes out when they're worshipping. But there's work to be done to build this army, for flesh to come and for us to be ready to carry and partner with him in all that he wants to release. I feel like worship is such a key part. I love the worship this morning. Worship is such a key part of God putting flesh on our bones and preparing us. And in our church, I've got some friends here from church who are here this morning. It's so nice to have them here supporting me, loving me. But I've been sharing a bit from Matthew 25 on the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. And, you know, in that parable, the wise virgins had their lamps filled with oil. And I believe that oil represents the oil of intimacy that we get when we spend time and one-on-one and we build a relationship with the Lord. And that's why they weren't able to share their oil with the foolish virgins. That's something you have to purchase for yourself. And it's also why when they came back, those foolish virgins, the Lord actually said he didn't know them. So we need to grow in intimacy. We need to spend time with him so that we're transformed from glory to glory into a place of greater intimacy where he starts to reveal the secrets of his heart to us, like Jeremiah says that he wants to show us great and mighty things that we don't know about. He wants to arm us with his strategies and tell us how we're going to walk in authority to bring about his eternal purposes. One of the terms for, you know, that's going around now is soaking, to spend time in silence before the Lord, and or to put worship music on and just spend time, like, I don't know if you know that beautiful worship song, just to lean back into his chest and feel his heartbeat. But I love the word soaking, because to me it reminds me of like a sponge just being saturated, you know, and how it can just become so full of water that you can't even pick it up without it dripping everywhere. And or else another picture that makes me think of soaking is a casserole dish, when you put it in hot soapy water and you don't have to scrub it, you just wipe away all the bits that were clinging and burnt on there. And that's what happens when we spend time in his presence. He starts to heal us of wounds. He starts to speak the truth over us. He speaks our identity into our spirits, and we just start to soak that up like a sponge. I just want to read to you from 2 Corinthians 10 from the New Living Version. It says, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." I think when you grow up with scriptures, sometimes you get an idea of what they're about. And for some reason, I used to always think that was the strongholds of the world that we were to tear down. And it is about that, to tear down the strongholds of the world. But the main strongholds are here. The main strongholds that the Lord needs to deal with, the lies that hold us back, the fears that hold us back. I heard a quote once from Francis Frangipani where he said, "Anything in your life that's not glistening with hope is under the influence of a lie. It's telling you something that's not truly God's will for your life." And so we need to, when we're with the Lord, we need to consciously just look over ourselves, not dwell on it, but just ask the Lord, "Is there anything holding me back from you? Is there any mindset that I have, or lie, or fear that's holding me back?" And it's his, you know, the word says his kindness leads us to repentance. That's so true. He can just whisper gently something to you, and it can just deliver you of something that you've held all your life. It can wipe away shame, or it can take away rejection. I really feel that this is, you know, we're living in the days of the bride is making herself ready. And again, that was another misconception I think I had, of the bride will make herself ready in the midst of trial and tribulation and being crushed. And that definitely will happen. We've seen that in the beautiful people that have been persecuted in the world. You just, you know, if you're ever under their ministry, you just think, wow, they know God in a way I don't. So it does, we do get refined in that way. But I really believe, you know, the picture of the bride making herself ready is not a hard one. It's one of joy. It's one of, this is the greatest day of my life. I'm going to be prepared for it. I'm going to have my hair done and get my makeup done. It's a pleasure. And I really believe that we're living in the days of the bride making herself ready. And this is part of it. I just want to share with you from Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19. "When I think of this, I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, And I pray that from this glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love truly is. That we can never get, we can never fully comprehend. There's always more to understand of how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. With all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Can you imagine if we were to have the fullness of life and power from God? I think we would explode. I mean, how do you carry that? So what is the fruit of being in his presence from these verses? He will strengthen your inner man, it says. When we abide in his Spirit, we start to abide in the fruits of his Spirit. We abide in peace. We abide in joy and love and in faith. Our mind becomes subject to our spirit, because so often our spirit is subject to our mind. Our spiritual senses get opened. In spending time with the Lord, you start to hear more, that your ears are more sensitive to his voice. And your eyes get open, you start to see, if you look to see, you start to see pictures that his Spirit wants to share with you. And you can smell the things of heaven. I've experienced that. Amazing. We've got to, you know, open ourselves up to experience all that he has for us. Our sense of touch, we start to feel the weight of his glory like we did this morning, his beautiful presence. Taste is the fifth sense, which I'm sure is in the spirit realm. I haven't had that yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure it would be wonderful. The second thing in Ephesians, it says, our roots will go down deeper into God's love. That's like Romans 12, our minds being renewed and transformed from just looking into his face. When we turn our attention to him, our love for him increases, and when your love for him increases, you get his love for others, so it flows out. It's not just, sometimes people think, oh, you know, they spend so much time with the Lord, they're not looking out for other people, but it doesn't work that way. It increases what you feel for other people, because you get the mind of Christ. You start to feel what he feels, which is so much more powerful than our love, our emotion of love. Our identity wounds can be healed when we're in his presence, because he speaks over us what he sees. Someone sent me a text this morning that again spoke over how much the Lord delights in me, and you just never get tired of that. I just wanted to cry as soon as I read it. He so wants to pursue us so that we truly understand who we are, who he sees us to be, so that we get to fulfill our destiny that he's planned for us. And then the third thing, we get filled with the fullness of God. So we do receive our full inheritance. We start to carry his presence. One of the other revival stories I love is Charles Finney going into a mill in New York State. And I was just talking to Pastor Dave about this yesterday, and it's actually in the district where he grew up. There's an old mill, and it was owned by a Christian, and he invited Finney in, and as he walked in, the presence of God on his life shifted the atmosphere in that place, and people just dropped to their knees and started shaking under the power of God and all gave their lives to the Lord. Just amazing. Actually, I was a little bit nervous in the beginning. I was going to tell another story of Wigglesworth and my grandfather, and I forgot about it. But should I tell it now? Yes. It was one of the favourites we used to hear when we were growing up, that he went to pick him up for a meeting and at his hotel, and he had to walk through the dining room to leave the hotel. And my grandfather was walking behind him, and apparently he used to walk very fast. He was a man on a mission. And so he was walking ahead, my grandfather was behind him, and there was a couple sitting eating dinner in the dining room. And the husband had a, or the man, had a huge growth on his face that my grandfather said looked like a big crab. And Wigglesworth barely broke stride. He slapped his hand on this man's face and commanded it to come off in the name of Jesus, and then threw it on the table and kept walking. And my grandfather said, I will never forget the look on those people's faces. They just, you know, amazing just to be rooted in and filled with the fullness of God. We start to believe He is who He says He is and who we are. We can then start to dream big. It's time for us to dream big. It's time for us to believe that we are going to, you know, the Word says we're going to do greater things than what was in the Bible. So our shadow is going to heal people. Yes. And we're going to be like Finney, where we will shift atmospheres. Imagine us going to Coles. You know, it does sound outlandish, but it's going to happen. When we're truly carrying His presence, we're going to have to take risks. That's why I like reading about what they did, because I thought, I want to be like you. I'm going to be in it, boots and all. But it's going to be scary at times. It's going to need us totally trusting in the voice of the Spirit. But we will walk in greatness. We're going to walk in His glory. We're going to go places we've never imagined. And it's not just going to be a visitation. The prophecies and the Word of God says it's going to be a habitation. It's going to be the final move that's going to bring in a great harvest for His kingdom. And that harvest is going to happen through us. It's not just going to... God could do it on His own, but that's not what He's choosing. He's choosing to use these dry bones. This morning, another thing that happened was I turned on my computer, and I just want to finish with these thoughts. And there was a prophetic word from Brian Simmons. I don't know if you know of him. He's a Bible translator. He was a missionary for many years translating the Word, and now he studied Hebrew and Greek, and he's translating book by book in English now, a modern translation called The Passion. But he sent out this prophetic word, and when I read it, I thought, wow, this is so what the Lord had put on my heart for today. So I just want to read it to you. It says, I heard Him whisper to me, I have set my armies in place. They are battle ready and prepared to fight for you. Watch the miracles break forth. So that's angelic armies. Watch the miracles break forth as you step out in faith. Have I not equipped you and given you my faith as your shield? I call you to march with the heavenly armies and see great victories given to you. All who rise against you will fall, and those who disgrace my name will be set aside until they determine if my grace is enough to restore them. But your calling is to move forward in faith and bring defeat to the forces of darkness. Faith is the victory that will overcome the power of the spirit of this world. You will walk in the steps I have chosen for you, and no one can hinder. Faith opens doors to set you in a right place at the right time. You'll look for your enemies, but you won't be able to find them, for they are defeated. Receive the fullness of your inheritance today. How amazing is that? Wow. You must rejoice and sing and celebrate the dance of chance. Turn your maybe into a miracle. Many are the servants who will step out with small faith. I work a great work. Never measure your faith by your fears, but insist that your fears submit to your faith. Now is the time to set into your maybes. Watch me empower your environment and cooperate with you. Your enemies fight in vain, so do not be discouraged by what you've seen with your eyes, but be filled with my faith as you set your gaze on me. Embrace truth as your best friend. Marry wisdom, and she will be your perfect partner. Cherish my peace, and you will live far above the fray. I will create a clean heart in you. The virtues of my spirit are going to be born in you. My righteousness covers your heart as a breastplate, and you will find greater strength and boldness. For the time has come for you to praise me with all your heart. For my overcomers are arising, and they will not be defeated. And you will praise me for the impossibility that I am changing into victory. The day of your visitation is here. Isn't isn't that amazing? I just, as I read it this morning, I just couldn't believe how it felt, you know, just was so in sync with what I felt the Lord was wanting me to share. The last thought I want to leave with you is from Psalm 46, verse 10, which I read this. It's not something that I came up with. It's something I read a few months ago, but it really hit me. We know that verse so well. We love that verse. Be still and know that I am God. It's a verse that's a whisper. It's quiet. Be still and know that I am God. But then it says, I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the nations. It starts with a whisper, but it ends with a resounding shout. Just amazing. It sums up what the Lord is calling us to. And I just want to share one last thing. It's another Wigglesworth story, but it's one I read in a book. And it's around the time he was in Australia, but he was in New Zealand when this took place. It says, there were 11 leading Christians in prayer with our brother at a special afternoon meeting. Each had taken a part. The evangelist began to pray for the denomination, and as he continued, each, according to their measure of spirituality, got out. The power of God filled that room, and they couldn't remain in the atmosphere that was supercharged by the power of God. The author, on hearing that this had happened from one who was present, made a vow that if the opportunity ever came, he at any rate would remain, no matter who else went out. During the stay in the Sounds, a special meeting was called to pray for other towns in New Zealand that were yet to be visited by the Spirit. A like position to the other meeting now arose. Here was his opportunity, the challenge, the contest was on. A number prayed. Then the old saint began to lift up his voice again. And strange as it seemed, the exodus began. A divine influence filled that place. The room became holy, and the power of God began to feel like a heavy weight on them. With set chin and a determined decision not to budge, the only other one was now left in the room, and he hung on and hung on until the pressure was just too great and he could stay no longer. And with the floodgates of his soul pouring out in a stream of tears, it led to an uncontrollable sobbing. He knew he had to get out or die. And a man who knew God as few others did was left alone, immersed in an atmosphere that other men couldn't breathe in. It just opens our minds and spirits when we read some of these accounts of all that God wants to do in us. And so, like I said, be still and, well, as the Lord said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. I will be exalted in the nations.